Father, we thank you for this special time in the life of our church. We thank you for the blessing of coming together to be part of your plan, Lord. We thank you for this chance to serve you and to listen to your voice. We ask that you would bless and anoint Rick to say what you would have him say, and that we would have ears and hearts to listen, that we would burn for you, and that we would do exactly what you call us to do in this year ahead. In Jesus' name.
I had a great idea for the way we do this. I'm going to run this by you and see what you think. But our church has done this for the last maybe 10 years. It started at a time when there was just a lot of things going on, and there was a lot of information that we needed to get to the congregation. And so we actually started doing things like this quarterly. And then that kind of worked its way into an annual thing. And it's the one time a year that we do talk about our stewardship. We don't go knock on doors and don't send out once a month letters for 6 months. We take one day just to talk about our church and where we are and where we'd like to be. And it's the one day in the year that we do that. We hand out the pledge cards, which I'll hand out shortly, and we ask for you to pray about them and return them so that we can look at those and begin to plan our budget. Because as you know, in the church, everything starts at zero at the end of the year. It doesn't matter how successful we've been in the past year or the past few years, we start over again January 1 at zero. And so our budget, the budget that we have, is 100% depending on the generosity of our congregation and what they are willing to give at the beginning of each year. So that's why we do it. But because I've done this now a lot, and even though there's a ton of scripture about money and giving, there's all kinds of different directions you can go, I'm finding that I'm running out of different ways to approach it. And so I was trying to think, how could we do it? What's been successful? And I thought of the pledge drives that they do with public television. You know, the KPBS, and you've heard those, right? What they do, now listen to this and tell me if you don't think this is good. They get some old singer. They get some old singer to come out and sing some old songs. And then they stop and they ask for your pledges. They usually offer something free, so we could do like, here's what I was thinking. You could take the old singer, and I'll come out and sing 30 minutes worth of old songs, and then we'll ask you to turn in your pledges, and the first 15 pledges will get an autographed copy of Father Brian autograph on today's bulletin for the first 15 to turn it in. And then if they've all been turned in, fine. If they haven't all been turned in, then the old singer will come back and start singing to you again. I'd have to do the same 15 songs because those would be the only ones that I know. So it would be pretty much of a repeat. But the good news would be, as soon as all the pledge cards had been handed in, then I would stop singing.
Oh,
we
all have
it. Yeah.
Come on. Is that a good idea? The wrong one. The pledge card right now. So just think about it and like maybe give Father Brian your feedback. That would have to be next year. It would have to be with the vestry's approval. But I think I'm onto something. I think maybe it needs some refinement. Sometimes on those shows, the old singer has a backup group of old singers. But hey, come on.
Rick, what if we make our pledges so that you won't do it?
Well, that's part of the idea, Allie, if I scare you. This is called scaring you into giving. I really want to do something different. I really think that the Lord... the Lord gave me this message this morning, but it's going to take me a while to work my way up to it. It's one of those things that the introduction is going to be longer than the message. And I, you know what, I think that I want to hand these out, Don. Could you maybe help me and just to...
Sure.
You could, you know, we have enough to give one to everybody. We only need to get one back per pledging unit, but if everybody could have that.
Thank you.
while he's handing those out, let me just say that there's a scripture on the bottom of that. A scripture on the bottom of it from 2 Corinthians. I talk about it every year because this is the scripture of all of the giving scriptures that there are. And there's scriptures about the tithe, and there's just all kinds of scripture that you could use. This is the one that spoke to me a long time ago and still does. So this is really my favorite scripture in terms of giving. But before we even get into that, there's another one that I think has to go with this one for it to really make sense. And we didn't put it on the pledge cards. It's again, one that I've talked about lots of times, but I just want to read it to you quickly since you don't have it on the card. From Luke's Gospel, and this is Luke's Gospel. No, it's verse 38. Chapter 6, verse 38. And it says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you." I believe that this scripture is God's law of giving. I mean, this is how it works in the kingdom. And some people get scared about that, and they think, that can't be right, because that sounds like we're forcing God to do something that he doesn't want to do, or that sounds like I'm going to give so that I can get a bunch of stuff back. But just because people can view this verse skeptically doesn't mean that it's not God's law of giving. God says this is how it works in the kingdom. What he really says is, you can't outgive me. He says, if you give, it's going to come back to you so many times more than the way you give it, in the form of blessings, that it's going to overflow. You don't have a container large enough to hold the blessings. That's the way giving works in the kingdom of God. And it says, with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So the more you give, the more the blessings are going to pour out from heaven. The only thing the only way that you have to be certain that you're talking about it correctly is with the idea of give, and take the 2 Corinthians verse to go with that, almost parenthetically. Give with the right heart and with the right motivation, and it will be given unto you many, many times over. We don't give because of what we get back. That would be greed. Okay, but if we give the way giving is supposed to work in the kingdom, and as the 2 Corinthians verse says, if we give what we purpose in our own heart, if we give what God and I have decided together is what I can give, and it's what I can give cheerfully and with expectantly, if I give in that way, with the same measure I give, it will be measured back to me. And I can no more change that law than I can change the law of gravity. That's how God says in his work, in his word, giving works. We don't give reluctantly, the 2 Corinthians verse says. We don't give under compulsion. We give cheerfully. We give what God and we have worked out together. And we give the amount that we can be cheerful about, and that we can give expectantly and wait for the blessings that are going to come from that giving. And those two scriptures, I just have a hard time leaving those two scriptures out of any discussion about stewardship, because to me, this is the key. It tells us how giving works in the kingdom, and it tells us what our heart should be as we give in order for that law to apply, in order for that law to be in effect. Now, having said that, what I wanted to do this time is to do some bragging. I wanted to be boastful, show a little bit of pride, all of those really good Christian attributes that we're supposed to have. It does say something about humility in the scriptures. So I knew that I wanted to do that, so I did what I usually do in these cases where I know I've got a scriptural problem, is I just go to the scriptures to find a loophole. I needed to find a way that I could do the bragging that I wanted to do. And I found a loophole, and I think it's a pretty good one. It's in Jeremiah It's chapter 9 and verse 23, I think is where I want to start, 23 and 24. And it says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. So there's our loophole if we want to do any boasting. What we can, I can't boast about anything. I have nothing to boast about that didn't come from God. But God says in Jeremiah, through the prophet Jeremiah, if we're going to boast, boast that we know the Lord. And if we went into the New Testament, 2 Peter, and I won't read it to you, but it's the last verse in 2 Peter, and it says, it calls on us as disciples to grow in our grace and our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a growth thing. We grow to know God. So God is saying, if I'm going to brag that a little bit of God has rubbed off on me. That's something that I can brag about. I can brag that his way of living, his way of functioning, his way of forgiving, his way of loving, his way of giving are more and more becoming my way. That God's way of thinking more and more is becoming my way of thinking. So that I'm doing as the scripture asks us to do. I am growing to be more and more like him. I am growing in righteousness and I'm growing in holiness. And to the extent that I can say, I know God better than I used to know God. I'm thinking more like God than I used to think. That's something that God says you can boast about. You can brag about that. That's a good thing. And so with that in mind, and what I really want to brag about is our church. And I'm going to talk about three things that we're all very familiar with. And so that I don't hurt anybody's feelings, I need to preface this by saying our church is a giving church. And when a need comes up in our church, there's almost always the steps forward and says, I can help with that. And many times it's anonymous. So that we don't know a lot of the giving that goes on in our church. That's kind of the nature of anonymous. Even if I do know about it, I'm not going to stand up here and talk about it because the people that gave in that way don't want it to be talked about. But I'm going to talk about three things that we all know about. And the first one is Kairos and a simple thing called the cookie ministry. Laurent, when Laurent and Joan joined our church and they're active in Kairos, and Laurent talked to us about what that means. First of all, how people's lives are changed by the weekend in the prisons when they go down there to minister. And secondly, how important to that life-changing a moment is the cookie ministry, the cookies and the prayers that are given out. Our church heard that message, and we start baking cookies. When Laurent stands up and gives the announcement, hey, it's time again, we start baking cookies. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say there is no reluctance. There is no feeling that it's under compulsion. We're obligated to do this. We actually, there's a bunch of people, not necessarily me, standing in their kitchens and baking cookies simply because they want to. That's something that they feel good about. They can cheerfully give those cookies. And the first few times we did it, all of us were kind of blown away by the numbers of cookies that we had for the size of our congregation. So much so that we actually stop this idea of counting them and making big announcements every time, because then that almost came like an idol, you know, can we top last year? But we just leave it at bake the cookies, because they will make a difference in people's lives. And we do that as a church cheerfully, happily, expectantly, waiting to hear about the miracles that occurred, partially because of that gift of our prayers and those cookies. That's the kind of giving that the scripture talks about. That's the cheerful giving that the scripture says will be greatly blessed. The second one I want to talk about, and this is really when God gave me this message, has to do with the shoeboxes. We've been doing this shoebox ministry, the Samaritan's Purse, for a number of years now. And all we did, like this year, it was just simply a matter of it's time for the shoebox ministry again. And our church, knowing that those shoeboxes are going to go and give some kid somewhere in the world a Christmas that they wouldn't otherwise have, and give them a knowledge of the love of Jesus. This is being sent by somebody who loves Jesus and who loves them and wants them to know that Jesus loves them. And our congregation gets excited about that. And we start filling shoeboxes. Again, there is no compulsion. There's no obligation involved. People go and actually have fun doing the shopping for the shoeboxes. We happened, Connie and I, the day they were due, we loaded them in the back of my car, and we drove them over to the, they were being collected at the Baptist Church right over here on Stagecoach. And when we went up there, there was a lady in the office, actually two ladies in the office, and the one lady greeted us, and we knew her because she had been at the collection center last year when it was at Christ the King, and we had dropped off boxes there. And she also is a lady that works for Samaritan's Purse. She's local in Fallbrook. I think she attends Christ the Church, Christ the King Church. But she goes and she speaks on behalf of Samaritan's Purse. She asked us, they hadn't even been to our car yet. She just said, now, what church are you people from? Connie said, we're Christ Church Fallbrook. And she got this big smile, and she says, I love your church. I love your church. And she said to the lady that was with her, this is the church I was telling you about. These people are from the church that I was just telling you about. They have a small church. I don't even know how she knew all of that. She said, they have a small church, and they're giving to Samaritan's Purse. Just blows everybody away. And as she walked through the car, she still hadn't seen our shoeboxes. She said, I just want you guys to know, I talk about your church all the time.
Wow.
Everywhere I go, any church that I go to talk about Samaritan's Purse, I talk about Christ Church in Fallbrook. So how can you not feel a little bit of pride about that? You know, how can you not feel, gosh, that makes me feel kind of good, because that's our witness now. The witness of Christ Church in the community and even to other churches outside of our community, the witness of our church is that we understand Christian giving, that we know how to cheerfully give, and we do it, and I'm going to resist the temptation to start naming churches, but I did see the list of churches, and I saw the shoeboxes that were dropped off. And let me just say, we do twice as many as the biggest churches in town.
Wow.
We do twice as many shoeboxes. And we do it happily, and we do it cheerfully, and we do it not under compulsion. We do it because we understand Christian giving. And the idea is that we are sending these boxes to people who knows where in the world, and some child is getting a message that Jesus loves them, and that there's a family that loves them and are sending these gifts because we love Jesus. The last one I want to talk about is the nest. And that one, you have to see God's hand. You just cannot see that God orchestrated that. When Connie and our daughter Kim went to India, they were given the opportunity to minister in hospitals, in schools, in a leper colony, as you remember. But somehow this orphanage of little kids that were taken off of the street, that's what touched them. And they came back, and Connie shared that with our church. And you remember we adopted the kids to begin to pray for them. I believe that changed our church, and I know what it did for those people in that orphanage. There are kids that had no future, that all of a sudden had a family, that had somebody that loved them, was sending them notes, was recognizing their birthdays, things that had never happened to them in their life. And then when we began to hear about needs over there, our church began to give. And for us, you know, I think about this. For us, it isn't a big deal to write out a check. But think about it from their standpoint. They live in a really difficult place to live under really, really difficult circumstances. There is no way in the world that they could have done what they've been able to do without the generosity that came from here. And what that really means is God performed a miracle over there. God performed a miracle 9,000 miles away from us, and he used us to do it. Doesn't that make you feel good? That God used this church family to provide hope and a family and to people that are 9,000 miles away from here, and literally changed their lives. The knowledge that they have somebody that loves them, the knowledge that we love Jesus, and we want them to know that, and we want them to know that he loves them as well. Who knows how that's going to touch those kids someday? That has been it can only be described from their standpoint as a miracle that God used the generosity of this congregation to perform. That's the idea of Christian giving, and those three examples where you can easily see nobody did any of that giving under compulsion or under obligation. So, and here's where it gets a little bit tricky. Now it's time to say, it's time to do our church budget. And I need to ask you to pray about giving. What do you want to give to our church? I'll speak for me, because I don't want to speak for you. I feel great when Connie's baking cookies. I feel like I need to say that and not pretend like I'm baking. I feel great. I went with her to do the shoe boxes. I love that. That was one time. I'm not the most generous person in the world. Connie is. But that's one time where I'm saying, are you sure you bought enough boxes? You know, there's more stuff that we can go buy. And I love the giving that we give to India. But now when I'm writing my check to the church, I do that. I believe in tithing. But that, to me, it's going to pay for the lights. It's going to pay for the utilities. Not very much fun. It's going to pay some salaries. And so I write that check a little differently. My heart is a little different. And the message that I want to give to you this morning is that it's exactly the same thing. The giving to the church is exactly the same thing, because who are we? We're Christ Church, and we have a vision for providing hope and a home for families and those in need of families. That's what we do, and that's part of what we're doing when we're doing cookies, and it's part of what we're doing when we're doing shoeboxes, and it's part of what we're doing when we're donating to Chennai, and it's part of what we're doing with lots of other ministries and trying to be a witness that we are a family here that wants to be a home for people and wants to provide hope to people. And so what the giving to the church is the giving to our vision. And I tried to think of a way I could come up with a really good analogy. And this isn't a particularly good analogy, but I'll use it anyway. It's as if we gave all of this cheerful giving. We filled up our cars with cookies, and we filled them up with shoeboxes. And then the day we're going to deliver them, the cars out there don't have any gas. And the people that are driving the cars don't have any money. And so I say, well, I'd be happy to fill your gas tank up, so that then those things can go get delivered and they can spread the love of Jesus to people. I can look at that, oh yeah, big deal. I gave a tank of gas to people. That's kind of mundane and not very exciting. Or I can look at it as if my giving was part of that ministry. My giving, when I gave this practical thing here, was part of doing this great thing that's going to make me feel good. And so in that respect, when you and God decide what you would like to give to our church, I just encourage you to not think of it, even though it's true, don't think of it as it's going to pay our salaries and keep the lights on. Think of it as it's going to keep this ministry, this missionary outpost that we have here in Fallbrook, that is trying to be a witness for the world and is trying to spread the love of Christ to the world, and is trying to bring hope to people and a home to people. And like I said, we start at zero every year. So to the extent we're going to be able to have a budget that allows us to do those kinds of things, we need our family to contribute, but only, and I used to worry about rectors when I would say this, that they were going to really be mad at me. In fact, I would make it, my annual joke was that Second Corinthians scripture that God loves a cheerful giver, but he accepts from a grouch. Because in the one hand, money is money. But I've said this, and that's why I said I have to make sure the rector's not going to slap me, and Father Brian wouldn't, and neither would Father Don. Money is money, And I suppose there's an extent to which you would accept from a grouch, but that doesn't bring the blessings. And I would say to you, if you are reluctantly writing the check, if you're feeling like you're writing the check under compulsion, if you're feeling anything other when you write that amount down, anything other than excitement and this makes me happy and I feel good about this and I'm anxiously looking forward to seeing what blessings are going to come, any other attitude than that, then don't write the check. Because there won't be blessings. In that regard, the blessings just won't flow, and so there just really is no point. You might as well hang on to your money in that situation. So the mercenary part of me, if you're just a little bit grouchy, go ahead and but the part of me that wants to be more like God, it is God loves a cheerful giver, what you have purposed in your own heart. So the plan at this point is you can take that home and you can pray about it so that it is between you and God. If God has spoken to you right now, you can turn it in right now. But I'd say probably in 2 weeks, we're going to want to just have the pledges up at the altar and bless them, and we're going to write our budget, and we're going to go with what we've got. So turn them in or take them home with you, whatever you're comfortable with. All right, well, thank you for staying. I appreciate it. And do thank you for already being a very generous congregation. I just love that. And this will be my last moment of pride. For that lady to just look at us and say, I love your church. And she loved it because of the generosity of our church. I don't know how we get a better compliment than that. So I felt good about it. Thank you.